You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies show. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. The Grizzlies go out and have a sucky weekend, for the lack of a better word. It did not go well. But we'll talk about all that and more coming up on this show today. We also have Monday Mailbag in the second segment, and the Grizzlies also take on the Houston Rockets tonight in Houston. So it doesn't look like it's going to get any better for the Grizzlies. But if you're not following the show already, make sure you follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. If you're make sure you follow me on Twitter at King _ Producer. That's where we'll continue the conversation after the show. But yeah, so the Grizzlies, the big news out of the weekend is the Grizzlies lose Kyle Anderson for 2 to 4 weeks minimum. He has a grade 2 ankle sprain. So Kyle Anderson goes out in that game against the Heat, and we'll kind of break down that game and what happened there in that game. But the biggest news, obviously, is Kyle Anderson leaving the game with the Heat, and we'll talk about the injury and kind of what will happen now from the wing point of view. But Kyle's really coming on. You know, he was really playing much better. They were putting the ball in his hands more. He was playing really well defensively. I mean, so losing Kyle Anderson is a bigger deal than you probably can probably imagine. It is not good for the Grizzlies. They utilized him quite a bit. He was one of the main people looking for Jaren Jackson Jr. on a regular basis. He was the one getting him the ball on a regular basis. I mean, Kyle Anderson was always looking for Jaren, which was great, because he seems like at times he might be the only person looking for Jaren. But you know, it didn't go great. So where do the Grizzlies go from here on Kyle Anderson's injury? So Kyle Anderson obviously playing about 30, let's see what I think he was playing 31 minutes a game for the Grizzlies. I'll pull up their box score as it's loading, but yeah, the Grizzlies lose someone in Kyle Anderson, who's playing, like I said, 31, 32 minutes a game. Sometimes he creeped up 35. It just really depended on the matchup, but let's see, he averaged 30 minutes a game. So how do you feel 30 minutes now? That's a big thing to feel for the Grizzlies. They have, obviously, Justin Holiday from the trade, but they also have no Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks is out for this season. I'm not sure if we actually talked about that or not, but that came out. So he's ruptured a ligament in his toe. So he's out for the season. He'll have season ending surgery. It shouldn't affect him coming back next year at all. That should be pretty on schedule. So the Grizzlies lose both their main wings, basically. Kyle, their starting wing, and then Dylan as their backup, kind of six-man wing. So at least Kyle's is, you're going to get him back in a couple weeks, but it's going to be a month. You know, it's going to be a while. It's going to be well after the All-Star break before you get Kyle Anderson back. Then you have Justin Holiday, who you got the trade for Wayne Selden and Marshawn Brooks. So you did have five, you know, what you had in a couple weeks ago before that trade, you had five wings, you know, with Marshawn, Wayne, Dylan, Kyle, and Garrett. And now you have two, Garrett Temple and Justin Holiday. So, you know, Holiday is going to be inserted into the starting lineup, I would imagine. He'll get in there. Probably you'll probably see Holiday get an uptick in probably 30 minutes or so, at least, I would say. He was playing 35 minutes a game for the Bulls before he came here, but he was also playing 22 minutes a night before with Kyle, you know, before Kyle went down. So you have 22 minutes plus 30, you know, 52 minutes a game that Justin Holiday cannot account for. So you'll have people like Omri Caspi see an uptick in minutes as well. Omri Caspi will, you know, Justin Holiday is more of a natural two guard, so you'll see him at the two, Garrett Temple at the three, probably starting rotation. And then you'll see an uptick in minute for Omri Caspi coming up, rotating the backup three role. And then beyond that, you probably see likely a lot of two guard lineups with Mack and Conley. It's gonna be a big dose of Shelvin Mack now. So just get ready for that. But likely, hopefully, I know JB Bickerstaff's talked over the weekend about Javon Carter. He wanted Javon to be in more of a defensive role, maybe playing two guards with Javon out there, so we could see Javon Carter out there with Shelvin Mack, or even Javon and Mike. That could be a combination to kind of uptick in minutes for Javon, which I think would be a good thing. And then you could see, you know, we saw in that Heat, Heat game on Friday, a lineup of JaMychal, Jaren, and Mark all out there at the same time, which you'll probably see again. JaMychal can guard perimeter players, and so can Jaren, all the way down to three in some situations, depending on who the player is. So you'll definitely probably see that lineup again as well. I don't think that's the last time you've seen that. So we'll see how, you know, it's going to be a lot of new lineups, probably a lot of new combinations. But losing Kyle Anderson is just, it's really devastating for the Grizzlies. It's not something that, it's not something that you can really afford, because now you look at a stretch of games where, it was going to be very difficult to win over even the next four games. And now it's going to be it's going to be hard. I wouldn't say impossible, but it's going to be very, very hard to win these games. You have at Houston tonight, Milwaukee coming in on Wednesday, at Boston on Friday, and at Toronto on Saturday. Just four really good teams, and it's going to be difficult to win those games. So you could be looking at the Grizzlies coming back to Monday after that, when they start a five-game homestand where the schedule gets a little easier, coming back to 19 and come back with a record of 19-23, maybe 20-22 if they steal a game. That would be 19. They're 19-23 now. That would be 19-27 or 20-26 or something like that, which is, it gets worse. But we've talked about the tanking thing on here. You obviously can't do that just because of what's going on, because everything, all the factors around you, everything that's going on around you. So that's difficult to do. But quickly, I'll just get to this Heat game a little bit, and then we'll get to the next segment. But like I said, they stay competitive, to be honest with you, but they let a Heat team that is a very average 3-point shooting team shoot. Let's see, they shot, Miami Heat wore 50% from three. No, excuse me, 48% from three. 49% from three. You let a very, very average team shoot 49% from three, shoot 15-31. It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous how you continue to let teams shoot freely in the perimeter. And I'll probably do a little tweet session earlier or later today, just kind of showcasing some of the defensive issues in that area, like I did before, just kind of showcasing what the Grizzlies are doing incorrectly, maybe what they can do to fix it. So look out for that. So I might do that later, for my own benefit, but as well for everybody else, is just kind of visualize and see what's going on. But I mean, that's it right there. That's your game right there. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous. The Grizzlies, like I said, the Grizzlies only shoot 9-29. So it's six more three-pointers than they shot. Grizzlies only shoot 31% from three. And all things considered, they were largely in that game. They were pretty much in the game down to the last possession, and they double-teamed Marc Gasol. And the Grizzlies clearly didn't have a second option. That means the play that they ran for Shelvin Mack is not the play, obviously. But they had Marc Gasol, and he got double teamed, and they didn't have an option after Marc Gasol. And so that is your big issue there, is that they didn't have an option after Mark. Throw it to Shelvin. Shelvin drives to the baseline and gets blocked. I mean, it's just not good. It's just not good. I mean, Shelvin Mack ends up with 28 minutes. Jaren Jackson Jr. ends up with 28 minutes. That is a recipe for terrible, terrible basketball play. There's no reason Shelvin Mack should be playing the same minutes as Jaren Jackson Jr. Absolutely zero reason for that to happen. And if Jaren Jackson just doesn't go up to like 35, 36 minutes a game after Kyle is gone, again, it's insane. It's asinine. It's frustrating. It's, you know, there's no way you can explain it to me that Shelvin Mack has the same minutes as Jaren Jackson Jr. on the court when a game, when you're trying to win a game. You can't, there's no explanation that you can tell me that makes sense. I'm sorry. That's just, it's unexplainable and inexcusable for a coach to sit Jaren Jackson Jr. down, only playing 28 minutes a game when it's a game where you are largely in the game and you need to win the game. It's inexcusable. There's nothing you could tell me in a post-game presser. There's nothing you could tell me in a post-game presser that would even come close to explaining Shelvin Mack and Jaren Jackson Jr. having the same amount of minutes. I know Shelvin Mack's going to get an uptick in minutes, and he probably saw more minutes because of Kyle Anderson. But those minutes should also go to Shelvin. I mean, should also go to Jaren Jackson Jr. That's just, you know, it's asinine at this point. And explaining it to people like, oh, Jerry, just bringing Jaren Jackson Jr. along for the development. Just don't want to hinder his development. You know, want to make sure he's good for the long term in 10 years from now. Well, you know, LeBron James played like 40 minutes a night as a rookie, and I think he's all right. I mean, I get the idea of you don't want to hurt his development, but he can't develop if he's sitting on the bench. There's zero chance he could develop anything and understand what's going on the court while he's on the bench. So the only time for you to know things and learn things is to be in that situation and make that mistake. I would have much rather seen Jaren Jackson Jr. play 40 minutes a night and us lose games. At least I know, you know what? He's wrong with the best players. He's got the best players out there, and you know, we lost. And that's okay, because at least, A, we got the best players out there because we got Garrett, or you got Mark, Mike, and Jaren playing the most minutes, and you're giving yourself the best chance to win, and Jaren Jackson's probably learning something, and all those things. But no, Jaren's out sitting on the bench, not even playing 30 minutes a game, which is just, it's just dumb. It just doesn't make sense anymore, and I can't understand it. And then you have Marc Gasol go out and shoot 7 for 14, 15 points. Just not enough. I mean, I get that, you know, 15 points and 5 rebounds is probably a good game or whatever, but it's just not enough. It's not enough from Marc Gasol. You can't go out and have the game you had at home and literally tell us in the locker room that it's on me. I had to be more aggressive. And he kind of looks like, you know, hey, I understand this. I get it. And then go out on against the Heat and turn in that shit show of a game. I mean, I understand that shooting 50% from the field, 7 for 14, 15 points and 5 rebounds is probably a good game for most people, but it's not a good game for Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol has to take – Mike Conley needs to be taking 20 shots. Marc Gasol has to take at least 18 shots, 17, 18 shots. And Jaren Jackson Jr. cannot take 8 shots. It's got to be at least 13, 14 shots a game for him. Those are your best players. You have to get your best players a chance to win. Jamichael Green, 8 for 11, 24 points, 11 rebounds, 7 from 8 from the free throw line, had a great game. But you know what? He also had a great game the game before that and followed up with another great game. So I get, like, explain to me how Jamichael Green can go out there, have 2 great games in a row, understand that he needs to contribute, but Marc Gasol, somehow the franchise cornerstone of this team, can't understand that. That's what I need to know. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Marc Gasol has to be the Marc Gasol we saw at home. He has to be that guy continuously playing, continuously looking, being aggressive, especially now that Kyle's going to be out. He has to be even more aggressive now. He has to take over even more. But, you know, it's likely won't happen. And that's frustrating. It's very frustrating to see a stat line like that turn in. I know, you know, Marc Gasol's got to be 20 points a game at least. I mean, if this team wants to win. You know, if they want to just play the games and do whatever, that's a different story. But the team wants to win, which I think they do. Mark's got to have at least 20 points a game. Mark's going to have at least 25 points a game. I mean, they just don't have the offense from other players. It's a game where you got 24 from Jamichael Green, 13 from Shelvin Mack. And beyond that, you don't really get much off the bench. And it's a team that needs every point they can get because it's a team that really struggles to score on offense. So if you want to score, those guys that are main contributors have to score. Your best players have to score the ball, and they're just not. And you see, and they didn't score the ball. Marc Gasol didn't have an excellent game. He had an okay game, an average game, but did not have an excellent game. And if this team is not good enough for Marc Gasol to have average games, they're just not. And they're not good enough for Jaren Jackson Jr. to be playing 27 minutes and take 8 shots. And they're not good enough for Shelvin Mack to take 13 shots. Just not. They can't sustain that, and they will lose many more games with that recipe. It just won't work. You have to have your best players taking the most amount of shots, your best players playing the most amount of minutes. You have to lean on them very heavily if you want to win games, because outside of those three players, you don't have a whole lot going on. You got one role player in Jamaica Green who is consistent. Beyond that, you don't know what you're going to get from everybody else. So if you want to be good, you have to lean on those players really heavily in a time where you really need them. Coming up next in the next segment, we will get to the Monday mailbag. I went a little long on that segment as I ranted about this thing. I had to get that off my chest, though. I had to say it. It needed to be said. But coming up next, we'll do the Monday mailbag, and then we'll probably have a very quick wrap-up in the third segment. Stay tuned. We had several questions for the Monday mailbag today. I'll try to get to them all, so I might not spend as many minutes on each question, but I'll try to get to them all. I've already answered a few of these, I think, in the first segment, but again, I'll try to get to them all. Again, if you haven't submitted your question this week, make sure you submit your question every week. You can DM me on Twitter at King_producer, at LockedOnGrizz. You can hit me a message on the Facebook page, facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies, or you can just email them to me. I didn't get any emails this week, but you can email them to me, LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. First question is from at LOL, you think, Michael, I guess this is Michael, MichaelJT5 on Twitter. With the limited players available, is it time to blow it up? What players should the Grizzlies trade for to rebuild around Jaren Jackson Jr.? Thanks for answering my question. No, it's not time to blow it up. Unfortunately, it's a situation where we kind of talked about this in, a few podcasts ago, maybe in the last one, where, you know, tanking is really not an option. And it's not really even your fault, but it's the fault of the Knicks and the Hawks, players like teams like that who are really, really bad, who have like 8 and 9 wins right now. You're sitting in 19. There's just, you know, you can't be bad enough to be able to get back to the kind of like the top four. You really can't. And beyond that, in this draft, you don't want anything. There's not a whole lot of good players in this draft. So if you're not getting top four, you know, you're not really getting much. And so it doesn't really make sense for you to get the seventh or eighth pick when that pick's you can get the 9th or 10th pick, and that pick would convey to Boston, and you kind of get off that going forward, because I think you're going to be a bad team again next year and probably the year after that. And so yeah, you want to get this pick gone, because you owe the pick this year to Boston. If it's top 8 or above, you keep it. Below 8, you know, 9 through whatever, Boston gets the pick. So, no, it's not time to blow it up, only for the simple reason that, you know, you can't catch other teams because they're so bad that there's no amount of tanking, no amount of tanking you can do to catch up with those people to get a top 4 pick. It's too far into the season. They've already committed, so they're going to have to do whatever they can to win games and just kind of limp along. I mean, you'll probably see them finish 10th or 11th in the Western Conference this year. They will have limped along. They will have done nothing to improve their roster short term. Marc Gasol will still be on the roster, and they will convey the pick to Boston, hopefully. And that should be the goal for this year, is to just get out from that pick and just kind of move forward from there. As far as rebuilding around Jaren Jackson Jr., again, I don't see them making any trades that they are able to get any pieces to rebuild for Jaren. The only person they could do that would be with Mark. You should listen to all offers from Marc Gasol. I mean, I'm on team trade Marc Gasol at the moment. I've just kind of got there. I haven't picked my seat yet and haven't sat down and buckled up, but I've just kind of got there on team trade Marc Gasol. I've given him a lot of leeway. I've given him a lot of support over the years, but it's getting to a point where you just, you know, I don't think you can win with Mark. So, but anyway, that would be the only person you could trade for Mark, but I don't think they're doing that. So, hope that answers your question, Michael. Let's go on to the next question. This question is from I'm a Depper. Yeah, Grizz fan. I'm a Depper. If I said that wrong, I'm sorry. Will the front office put pressure on JB to start Justin and Kyle's absence? I don't think the Grizzlies, I don't think their front office has to put pressure on JB, as we talked about in the first segment. I think that they will that JB will do it regardless. I don't think he really has a choice. Like I said, he has Garrett and Justin as kind of the wings and the two and three, and that's really it. As far as true wings, beyond Omri, whatever you think of Omri Caspi, more of a 3/4. So, you know, I don't think they have to put pressure on JB to start Kyle or Justin in Kyle's absence. I think you'll probably see Garrett move out to 3 and Justin start as a 2 because Justin's more of an actual 2 guard. Now, Justin hasn't been good. He's like 4/22 since as a Grizzly. So it's not been great for Justin. Hopefully they're still utilizing him very incorrectly. What he's doing is not sufficient for Justin to be successful in the Grizzlies offense. I don't know if he'll actually be effective. I'll probably write something on this at grizzlybearblues.com about how best to use Justin as far as scheme, offensive scheme wise. I haven't decided exactly how I'm going to approach that, but I'll probably do that either tonight or tomorrow. So you can actually look for that. So I don't think they'll put any pressure on it because I don't think it will matter. This next question comes from TJ from Twitter, and that is @TJ from Twitter. Do you believe the Grizz will utilize the open roster spot to gain depth at the wing, or is this a better spot which could be used? I didn't really talk about this in the first part, but the Grizzlies can't really use the roster spot right now. They have 14 spots, but they're like 100,000, 150,000 away from the tax line. So they'd have to go into the tax, and I don't see them going into the tax for a fringe player or, you know, someone that might help. The most likely scenario is they could use it on a 10-day contract, but I don't think they'll do that. I would be surprised if they did that. As for they wanted that kind of immediate help, they could use it on a 10-day contract, which doesn't go towards the cap. So you could do that, but they're probably holding on to that spot in case you wanted to kind of do a trade at the trade deadline where you're taking back two players in a one-player out kind of deal, like a one-for-two kind of deal. So they probably won't utilize the roster spot only simply because they don't have the money. And even for veterans minimum, it would still take them over the cap into the tax line to be able to do that. So, after they signed, after that deal for Justin Holiday, and then after they've signed Joakim Noah, which you can look at that Joakim Noah trade and question that all along, or the Joakim Noah signing. Like, do you really need Joakim Noah now? I mean, really, did you ever really need Joakim Noah? What has he ever really done for this team besides score 2 points every once in a while, 4 points every once in a while, get a couple rebounds? I mean, Joakim Noah doesn't help you. Joakim Noah doesn't do anything for you. You can get by with the bigs you have without Joakim Noah. And so that signing really kind of is, in hindsight, is now even worse. So, you know, I don't think they're going to waive him at this point. They're committed. And I don't think they'll do anything because of just the money, the way it works. This next question comes from Zach at @BarnBurnerBro. Shout out to the Barnburner podcast network. Those guys are good. If you haven't listened to our show, make sure you tune in. It's a good podcast. I enjoy it. Who do you think will get the most out of extra playing time with Kyle out? I already talked about this a little bit. I would assume it's going to be Justin Holiday as the first uptick in minutes, going from he'll probably go up to 30. I would assume, if not like 28. And then you'll probably see Omri Caspi get an uptick in minutes as well. But again, I think your starters are going to have to all see an uptick in minutes. Even I don't want them to play Marc Gasol a lot of minutes, because I think you probably need to try to find him rest. But Jaren needs to go up to like 35 minutes a game. I know it's only like he's averaging 28 minutes a game or whatever now, and it's only 6 minutes, but that's a big difference. You know, that puts him out there in the court in extra possessions, extra situations. But it'll start with Justin and Omri for the starting two, kind of back up the three. Hopefully you'll probably see Jamichael get some extra minutes as well. I think you'll probably see Yuta on the active roster. I don't know if he'll play or not, but I think you'll see him on the active roster. Probably Javon. I don't think it'll be one person that just gets all the minutes. It'll be spread throughout everybody to kind of contribute here and there. You'll see some more two guard lineups, probably that three big man lineup again that we saw the other day against the Heat game, kind of late in that game. And I think that's all the questions. Let me make sure that that's not, I'm not missing somebody. But I believe that's all of, all the questions. So I appreciate everybody with their questions for the Monday mailbag. As always, I try to get to most of them and answer them the best as I can. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. If you didn't get your question in for that segment, you can always do your, get your question during the week. If it's time sensitive during the week, I'll answer it right away. If it's something that I, you know, we can wait on until Monday, I'll try to wait on until we do that. But get your questions in all week. You can hit me on Twitter. My DMs are open. So if you don't feel like you can answer the question or ask the question in public, just shoot me a DM and I'll answer it that way as well. So do that on Twitter at King_producer at Locked On Grizz, Facebook page, facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies. And you can email me LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. We'll be right back with the third segment. Welcome back to the show. This will be a quick segment. We've already gone kind of over our time today. We spent a lot of time in the first segment talking about the injury in that game. So we don't have a whole lot of time to talk about this Heat game. But very quickly, obviously this is a Heat team that is very good at basketball. And it's a team that is excellent at shooting the three-pointer. So I think the Grizzlies will definitely struggle. They'll probably lose this game. So don't look for them to. Don't look for them to come out and surprise us. I think they're probably still definitely reeling from that Kyle Anderson injury and probably trying to figure out how to go from here. They're probably trying to figure out exactly what to play, rotations. And that's unfortunate because as bad as JB has been with rotation-wise this year, I think it probably only gets worse. Not having Kyle Anderson and having played extra people, extra minutes like Shelvin Mack. So, I don't expect them to win this game. You know, obviously, I hope they've surprised us before, and they surprised us against that Spurs game and went out and beat the Spurs. But I don't expect them to win this game. It's a team that is very good at shooting the three-pointer. So the Grizzlies have to be, as bad as they have been guarding the three-point line, they have to be excellent against this team. And it's just not something I think they can withstand, especially losing one of their better defensive players in Kyle Anderson to kind of lock down Harden at points. So you'll probably see Holiday on Harden for sure, seeing what he can do. So hopefully they can get Justin Holiday going on offense as well, because they really need extra scoring at this point now more than ever. They need it not only to cover Kyle's, what Kyle has given you, but also just in general. They need help from all kinds of places. And if Justin Holiday can do that, that will really help this team. But they haven't been using him correctly right as of right now. They kind of still have him on the ball, which is not really how Justin, it's not really the best way to utilize Justin. It's not really what he's good at. When we kind of broke down the stats a couple of podcasts ago about what he, you know, kind of how he shoots off the ball, off one dribble, two dribbles. You can go back and listen to that if you haven't already. It's kind of insightful to see exactly what he's good at and then how the Grizzlies are actually using him on the floor. So again, I don't think the Grizzlies will win this game. I believe it's a 7 o'clock tip game tonight. Normal game time for the Grizzlies. But I don't expect them to beat the, I don't expect them to be the Rockets, but, you never know. They could surprise us, but Grizzlies, again, lose to the Heat over the weekend. Take on the Rockets tonight, the Bucks Wednesday. And they have Toronto and Boston Friday and Saturday coming up this week. So it's going to be a tough week for the Grizzlies. So hopefully it doesn't get too depressing. But stay with me. We'll talk about it every day. I appreciate you guys joining me. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. If you want to be a feature sponsor on this show, please email me, LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. We can talk about it. We have a great audience, and it's growing every single day. Make sure you follow the show on iTunes, subscribing to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, or simply go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.